"It is evident," wrote Alexander Walker, "that the man, possessing reasoning faculties, muscular power and courage to employ it, is qualified for being a protector. The woman, being little capable of reasoning, feeble and timid, requires protecting. Under such circumstances, the man naturally governs, the woman naturally obeys." With minor variations, this belief was repeated again and again. The power of reasoning was small in women. They did not calculate consequences. They were governed by their emotions, and hence required strict controls on their behaviour by the more rational and level-headed male. The presumed intellectual inferiority of the female was reinforced by her education, and many well-bred women probably were the simpering, tittering, pathologically delicate fools that populate the pages of Victorian novels. Men could not expect to share much with their wives. Mendel Crichton wrote that he found ladies in general very unsatisfactory mental food. They seem to have no particular thoughts or ideas, and though for a time it is flattering to one's vanity to think one may teach them some, it palls after a while. Of course, at a certain age, when you have a house and so on, you get a wife as part of its furniture and find her a very comfortable institution. But I doubt greatly whether there were ever many men who had thoughts worth recounting, who told these thoughts to their wives at first, or who expected them to appreciate them. There is good evidence that both sexes were bored silly by this arrangement. Women, stranded in their vast, servant-filled households, dealt with their frustrations in spectacular displays of hysterical neurosis. They suffered loss of hearing, speech and sight. They had choking fits, fainting spells, loss of appetite, and even loss of memory. In the midst of a seizure, they might make copulating movements, or writhe in such arcing spasms that their heads would touch their heels. All these bizarre symptoms, of course, only reinforced the general notion of the frailty of the female sex. Frustrated men had another option, and that was recourse to prostitutes, who were often lively, gay, witty, indeed all the things it was inconceivable for a woman to be. On a simpler level, men found prostitutes agreeable because they could, in their company, discard the strained formalities of polite society and relax in an atmosphere of unbuttoned easiness. This freedom from restraints was at least as important as the availability of sexual outlets, per se. And it's probably this appeal that gave the institution such a broad base within society and allowed prostitutes to intrude boldly into acceptable arenas of Victorian society, such as Rotten Row.